Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Empowering Family Caregiver Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Meghna Giridhar, your host for today's show sponsored by eCareDiary.com. Today we will talk about supportive counseling for caregiving challenges. To help shed light on this, I'm very pleased to introduce our guest for today, Dr. Fritz Collette. Dr. Collette is a licensed clinical psychologist from Fordham University, practicing in New York City. He has worked in the field of mental health for over 24 years. Dr. Fritz was the host of the AM radio show Ask Dr. Fritz, broadcasted on WWRL from November 2011 to October 2013, and he's currently producing a cable TV program modeled after the radio show. The TV program has a broad focus on issues relating to psychology, mental health, wellness, social issues, and daily living. Dr. Collette, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the program.
Great. So we have a bunch of questions for you, and so I would just like to get started right away.
Sure.
Can you begin by telling us a little bit about where you work?
Well, I have an office in Midtown Manhattan on 42nd Street between 6th and Broadway. So I'm right in the center of one of the busiest sections of the city and probably the most visited tourist attraction in the world. But most of my clients are coming from the Fortune 500 companies that are in a 5-10 block square radius of the office on 42nd Street.
How did you get into the field of psychology?
Well, that started actually many years ago when I was a high school student, and a friend of mine knew about the psychology class happening at Pace that I could go and I can sit in on the class. And once I was in the class, I got to be exposed to the theories of Freud and Pavlov, and from Freudian psychology to cognitive psychology, behaviorism, and the course was about the application of psychology in everyday life. And I thought it very fascinating thing to learn about a subject matter and then not only be able to apply it in the field of psychology, but actually be able to apply it in everyday life. And for those who know me in the various roles I've had over the last 20, 25 years, I do bring psychology to whatever I do, whether I'm teaching. I was a math teacher for a little bit in the 90s, and I would teach students how to actually use psychology in their everyday life to get their parents to give them more of what they wanted. So sometimes they were a little bit of fun ways that I could apply it and to keep them interested in the subject matter. But I've been into psychology ever since. I'm currently as a psychologist working in 42nd Street. I see many people, many clients who are coming in. They might be suffering from anxiety. They might be suffering from depression, relationship issues. Increasingly, I'm also seeing people who are coming in from stress management and life balance reasons, because not only are they managing their families and all of those demands, they're also dealing with family caregiving issues. They're dealing with aging parents. An hour or so ago, somebody came to me and said, and these, you know, they've been coming because of the couple, and they've been coming from a variety of reasons, but they talked about how now they have family caregiving issues as an increasing part of the stressors that are impacting their family and their marriage.
So can you tell us a little bit more about the kinds of patients you typically treat?
All right. So in addition, when I'm working with people who are dealing, for example, with anxiety, I do meditation, relaxation work with them. I do some biofeedback and hypnosis. The people I'm working with in the Manhattan office are often high-functioning in the sense that they're able to hold down a job and manage their affairs, but the amount of stress and things they're dealing with on a regular basis is more than they can feel like they can handle, and they're often looking for effective coping strategies. When I'm working with people who are suffering from depression, a lot of the work stems around doing some insight-oriented supportive counseling, where we help the person uncover some of the experiences or traumas in their background that may be affecting the way that they experience life and perceive life. And so with them, again, I might do some supportive counseling, some psychotherapy, do a little hypnosis. Those people in the Manhattan office are generally working within the area. In my other office, in the Staten Island office, I see people who are often more disabled. They're homebound, so I've got other offices in a residential area. And in a residential area, people tend to, the employment might be less so. They might not, you know, might not be able to work. So with them, we're working on some basic functions, life skills, maybe even how to look for a job or how to cope with one once they've gotten one. That's a big cross-section of what I work with. And I also work with a lot of couples and families. Mm-hmm. Across the both issues, a variety of issues, and I also do workshops, seminars, and presentations for both corporations and the private sector and the nonprofit sector.
Now, you've been in this field for a really long time.
Are there any special issues?
Yes, indeed. 24 years is really long, and I'm sure your education is not included with 24 years of being on the field, and education takes another few years. You can add to that,
yes.
You've been around forever. So have you seen any special issues that have, that have increased in recent times?
You say a really long time. I still consider myself quite young, so people that are older or have been around in a field for more than 20, 25 years could say maybe things haven't changed as much as we think. But what I have seen is that the amount of distractions that we have in everyday life have increased. Now, the Internet has brought us a great opportunity to always have at our fingertips the ability to know something about things that we don't know about. But it's also, the technologies have also brought with us all these devices that ring and zing and do all kinds of things when we are trying to do other things and get things done. So, interestingly enough, with social media, I've seen people have problems in relationships that they would not have had it not be for social media. I've seen people not be able to disconnect, and I've seen a lot of stresses around that. So part of also what I help people do is, develop their own personal etiquette around how to deal with those technologies so that they're in control of the technology, it's not in control of them. The upside of what I've seen is that with our ability to access the Internet to know things, we can also use it. We can use it to find out a heck of a lot about the things that we know. We can connect to other people who are experiencing similar issues, whether it is having to do with anxiety, depression, life balance. It's one of the ways that I got in touch with and got to know a lot of people in the family caregiving arena. So, those changes, we're going to continue to see over time the evolution of the technology and our relationship with it. So I'm happy to be in this time and to be part of being part of dissemination of information as well as being part of an online community that talks about things.
When it comes to these specific issues of modern times, what approach do you typically take to help maybe individuals or families or couples dealing with this?
Well, I'm still relying upon tried and true research-driven training and a variety. I'm what they call an eclectic psychologist. I have formal training in Freudian psychology, cognitive psychology, behavioral psychology, humanistic psychology, and they're more to name. But I'm often going back and getting training in those and retraining in those areas because at the end of the day, our ability to sit with one another and communicate and receive information, share information, and provide emotional support to one another is still one of the most effective ways to help people. So in the end, no matter how much technology we have, being able to sit with somebody, connect with them, empathize with them, understand what they're going through, and even as they're talking and telling their story, helping them see what their story looks like and see the connections between their story and their greater life, That is what really, really helps people. So in a broad stroke, that's what I'm still all about. And I've taken to in the last few years using media by having a radio show, by having a cable show, as just a way of extending that and then being on your program. We met, I think, earlier this year, and I was happy to have the opportunity to meet you then and talk to you then as well as do that now, because I know there's a lot of people out there who are listening that derive a lot of great information from your program, and I want to be part of that process of providing that information and being part of that community where people can get help for the things that they need the most.
Mm-hmm. You know, how do you see the changing world affecting the nature of the intergenerational family unit in dealing with issues like aging and family caregiving?
Mm-hmm. The changing world has, as I mentioned already, the technology in it, but it's fast paced, and on the a positive side of it, as I've mentioned, it allows us access to and knowledge of other people that are in similar circumstances. We now see corporations adopting family caregiving programs, either where they're working with an organization such as yours or even with major insurance companies. And that information is crucial. One of the ways that I found out about family caregiving, even though I had been a family caregiver myself for the past 10 years, was through a networking opportunity that was created by one of the insurance networks. I think you probably were at that event too, where one of the speakers was talking about family caregiving. And at that time, I was just starting out with the radio program, and I was there to just network and see if I could get a sponsor. And instead, I became identified with the people that were in the room as someone who is a family caregiver, someone who is providing non-unpaid care to a family member, and often at great expense and stress, but it's what we do. We take care of our parents, we take care of our family, and it was a great opportunity not only for me to meet the community of the family caregiving, but it was a great opportunity for me to begin to get the information that other people had to share. As I see things moving forward in the world, this type of work that we're doing, you with this program and hopefully what I'm doing with my programs, is that we're making other people who are in similar circumstances aware of what they could be doing, how they can cope with the aging process, taking care of one another, dealing with the stresses of it, all that these programs are about, because these are things that people have dealt with for generation after generation. But what's new, what's changed, is our ability to connect with those people who may not be right next to us or next door, but people who are in similar circumstances across the country or across the world. And I have a passion for this, really excited to be part of that, because as someone who had been privately dealing with the family caregiving issue by myself, thinking that, I'm the only one I know that is dealing with this, it was a breath of fresh air to be able to meet other people that were going through it. And one of the trends that we have seen in recent years is that we have family caregivers not only taking care of our elderly, but we have family caregivers taking care of stepchildren, or taking care of children whose parents may have, for one reason or another, not been there, single-parent households or no-parent households. So these are also speaking to a lot of changes that I'm seeing, but being part of the process of sharing this information with you is one thing that I'm happy to be a part of.
When it comes specifically to stresses associated with family caregiving and elder care, can you suggest some tips or strategies that can help people cope with these kinds of stresses?
First thing, and this is very popular within the caregiving community, is we have to be able to name it. We have to be able to identify it. And for me, I had been dealing with that stressor alone for a long time, thinking that I just had to figure it out. I was online watching YouTube videos on how to change a bed with someone who can't get out of it. And so being able mm-hmm. to name myself as a family caregiver opened me up to a whole plethora of people that already knew how to do this stuff that I could talk to directly. And I was able to, find out more directly from people who were going through it. Even in one situation, someone who had gone through it had a special chair, an expensive chair that they no longer needed because their loved one had passed on, that it was mine for the taking simply because they offered it to me and said that it would make them happy. And so that someone else was able to use it. And then I learned about a whole variety of different actual medical techniques that family caregivers have to know about. If you're someone who is dealing with this alone, there's a community of people out there who have actually going through it, have gone through it. And if we don't name it, if we don't know that we're in that situation, many people will just suffer through it, learning the hard way or not even learning at all what to do with it. So the first thing I suggest to anybody is listen to programs like this so that you can connect to and learn about that. And then beyond that, now the next level is, once you've named it, being able to actually connect with those people and involve them in the family caregiving process. And part of that includes getting in touch with all the relatives and friends that are connected to the person in need, the person that needs the caregiving, and organizing some kind of effort to separate and balance the duties. Because, again, if you're trying to do all of this by yourself, it's too much, generally too much for any one person to do alone. And more often than not, the family caregiver gets sick themselves trying to take care of every single detail, from making all the doctor's appointments to being there for every single part of the process. And what can end up happening is going to impact not only your mental, but your physical health. Mm-hmm. Did you have another question beyond that? Because I could probably spend just an hour just talking about the things that I first do. I first get people to recognize who they are, okay, where they are in the process, and then I try to get mm-hmm. them to basically rally their social support systems around them. And it can be mm-hmm. first their spouses, their brothers, their sisters. Have a meeting, have a conversation about what needs to be done, who can do what. The mm-hmm. sooner you begin that process, the better off you are in terms of being able to manage it in the long run.
We have one last question for you, Dr. Gillette. It's about any resources that you could recommend, resources in terms of organizations or any other resources that you could suggest that could help people with the coping process when it comes to family caregiving?
Well, I'll start with, and I get nothing for this plug, but there's a book on the topic called Share the Care. I'm sure mm-hmm. you're familiar with it.
We actually had, we did have the author on our radio show.
Sheila
Warnock, yes.
Yes, because that book organizes the actual physical process. And as a psychologist, I can tell you, people often come to me psychologically for therapy and for on what, you know, how they can cope with and deal with issues. And often all I can do is offer that safe place for them to talk about what's going on. And certainly I recommend that to anybody that wants to do that. Mm-hmm. They can, you know, I do that, and I have lots of people that I work with around that. Rarely do I have an opportunity to also hand them something physical that they, if they actually would read it, it's a roadmap, you know. And I'm sure there are others out there, other books that are out there, but it's a roadmap to the actual task, because so much of the stress of family caregiving, so much of the stress of a lot of things in life come from our lack of awareness or knowing what to actually physically, behaviorally do. And when and where we can give people stuff to do that will actually make a change, we should always offer that. And I think as a psychological treatment, that's a wonderful thing to be able to provide to people. Beyond that, even before you get to mental health treatment, I'm often recommending that people, you know, in that stage of sharing the care or of actually eliciting their social support, is begin to talk about it and express what you're feeling, what you're thinking with those around you who care about you. And mm-hmm. that process of sharing what you're going through and talking about it can lead to brainstorming and organization that actually helps elicit the support that you're going to need in the long haul to get through a caregiving process. So there are resources, books, are available on the topic. Share the Care, Kathy Casella and Sheila Warnock is a book that I've read that I've used. I would look for, if you are dealing with the stressors or you don't have direct people that you can talk to, professional help, to include people that specialize in dealing mm-hmm. with stress management. dealing with life balance. There are some people out there that, even myself included, specifically focus on family caregiving. And it really helps to find people who have gone through it, because there's nothing like being able to talk about it from that perspective. There's a series, if you go to my website, askdrfitz.com, there's a series of radio programs where each program actually focused on an expert in the family caregiving space. And that I did. Just go to askdrfitz.com and go to the podcast. It's there, free of charge. And I could say more about that, but I think you gather that there are a lot of resources. Emblem Health, a company that sponsored that series, also has a family caregiving division, and I think you can also access that through their site.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Fritz. It's been an absolute pleasure having you as a guest. And I want to share your website with our listeners today. It's called www.askdrfritz.com, FRITZ.com. I'd like to thank our audience for tuning in today, and we would invite you to join us next time on Tuesday, November 4th at 2 p.m. Eastern for our Caregiver Speak radio show with Marjorie Pabst. Marjorie is the president of the Pabst Foundation, and she will talk about how families can use the arts to help loved ones with dementia. To learn more about eCare Diary and our upcoming shows, visit www.ecarediary.com. Registration is free and gives you immediate access to your personal care diary tool. You can also find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. My Twitter address is ecare_diary. Thank you, Dr. Fritz, and thank you everyone else for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.